We're very thankful to God for this another day He's given us, and we're so thankful to be a part of this worship service. Amen. And so those who are here visiting with us and those who are listening through live stream, we want to welcome you to the Highland Heights Church of Christ worship services, where we worship according to the New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will pray. Amen. Men will do all the working in the services. We will take the communion, the Lord's Supper, every Sunday, and we will give. We don't tithe. We give, and we do things according to the way the Christians worship in the New Testament. So that's what you're experiencing today. As it pertains to your salvation, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And if one to be saved, they must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on a cross on Calvary's Hill in Jerusalem. Around AD 33, there he hung, suffered on that cross between the two thieves. He died on that cross. And they buried him early on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. He resurrected with power and gave the command to go into the world and to preach this good news of the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Then the Lord then will add you to the church that you can read about in the Bible. It is the Church of Christ, the only one that you can read about, and that's the one only one that you ever hear me preach about here at the Church of Christ, located in the Fofo Highland Heights in 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. Amen. So to those who are listening, we pray you will take your Bible, open it up, and follow along with us in the scripture. Amen. And then we want to study this morning from Job, the account of Job. We've been looking at a series called the Cup series, and this series we launched looking at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked God, his Father, to let this cup pass. And he talked about how his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. And in the end, the Bible says he obeyed. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Then, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. And so what did he obey? He obeyed the will of God, the will of the Father. My emphasis is being on, we have to check, you know, we would pass the cup. We'll pass suffering because our flesh don't want the pain associated with suffering. But when we operate according to the will of God, we learn to not pass the cup, but drink the cup. And Jesus took the cup, and he went to Calvary's Hill after being beaten. The cup had a lot to do with being beaten, mocked, slapped. Amen. They hung a crown of thorns on his head. Then nailed him to a cross. And all of that was fleshly pain that he would have to go through. However, his decision was to do God's will. And I emphasize that our decision in life must be to do God's will. And when we're doing God's will, ladies and gentlemen, we drink the cup. We take what comes with life. And we looked at, after that, we looked at even Elijah, one of God's great prophets, how he drank the cup, and he had to take it, even though he ran from it, even though he went to the juniper tree, even though he went into the cave, yet he had to deal with life, and he was running from Jezebel. We looked at that one. That was the second lesson. Then we looked at, last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We called that his cup, and God told him his grace was sufficient. And now, so this morning we're going to look at Job's cup, Job's cup. And hopefully this will help you put it in perspective. When we think we got it bad, look around. Job had a bad situation. This is Job's cup. And then next week we'll close it with the Christian's cup. So what do we know about Job? Job was a spiritual man, one who feared God and was upright and eschewed, you mean he dodged evil. He tried to do what was right. Job was a prosperous man in life. You look at Job, Job had owned over 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 oxen, and 500 she-asses. He had enough servants to tend all these livestock. And Job would be considered one of the great rich men of the time, of the East. He was a wealthy in today's standard. Job Not only was he a spiritual man, not only was he wealthy, Job was a father of 7 boys and 3 girls. And Job was a spiritual leader with a wife that was with them. He was wealthy. He was a spiritual man. He was a father. He was a spiritual leader in his house. But there came a day. There came a day when there was a heavenly gathering, when Satan approached God, and God asked him, and you can go back and read Job chapter 1, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He asked Satan, when all down in there, going to and fro, in and out, just like he's doing today, he's in and out our lives, in and out our homes and families and marriages, and he's there, he's in the church building, he's in and out our lives, he's not going to give up, he's trying to take us down, and that's what he was trying to do there. But then God asked him a question. He said, "Have you considered this man? Who is this man?" This man, Job. Job was one who was upright and spiritual. God said, "Have you considered him?" Then God asked Satan. Satan said, No. "You got a hedge on him. You had a hedge about him. He couldn't get through him." And one thing we understand, that Satan's going to come. Satan's going to come. Anyone who's not hedged, amen, you're not spiritually sealed today. The sealing is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. When we get baptized, we're sealed, we're hedged. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are not sealed. You're not protected from Satan. We want Satan to have to ask God before he can touch us. Amen. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13.
In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth.
After you heard the word of truth.
The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed, ye were sealed.
With the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we're sealed today, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's that hedge that Job had. That's the hedge that we have as Christians. However, God gave his permissive will. This is how we got to accept God. God can allow pain to come on us whenever it's his will. This is how we have to live life. As children of God, we accept the will of God. God can stop anything he wants to stop from happening. But when you're a child of God, as Jesus was in the garden, even though we may ask him 3 times, "Let this cup pass," God said no to his only son. And every time in life when we go through things, we don't want to go through it. But God said, yes, we will go through the pain. And for that reason, we have to accept whatever God's will is for our life while we're living in this earth. And the Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said,
From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Verse 8, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him
in the earth.
In the earth,
perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Verse 9.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said.
Satan responds to God. Satan is bold. He has no problem approaching God. I mean, you think he don't have a problem with us? Satan has no problem dealing with our lives, turning it up. He has no respect for God. He certainly don't respect us. So he answers God boldly.
Job.
Let me ask you a question, God. Since you're asking me about Job, Job ain't just fearing you for no reason.
Does Job fear God for not?
Yeah, he said, no, he don't. It's not that he fear you for no reason. Has thou not made a hedge about him? Did you take care of him, you're watching out. I can't get to his house. I can't get to him. I can't get to the stuff you done blessed him with. I can't get on either side. I can't get to him. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands. He's a prosperous man. He's a spiritual man. He's a man of God. He's a father. He's a loving husband with a loving wife. And you got all your blessings on. If the world was today, the denomination, people would say he was too blessed to be stressed. Yeah. He was blessed at the work of his hands and his substance. Everything he touched. Satan said, you blessing him. too much for me to get to him. But then he said, then Satan come back and said, but I tell you what.
But put forth thy hand now.
Turn him loose to me. Let me have him for a little bit.
And touch all that he has.
Yeah, now he's going to challenge God. And now what he's betting on is that Job is not going to pass the test. And God is saying, have you considered this guy? See, God ain't going to put us in a situation. Amen. He knows the level of faith we have. Amen. So I understand this. I know all of us have got this different degree of faith. Amen. But there ought to come a time in your life when you've been in the Lord that you're at a level where God would say, have you considered this one? You know, I've seen his life. I've heard his conversation. I've seen him go through storms. I know what he's going to do. And no doubt that he's going to hold on, even though I'm going to let you inflict the pain. But it's going to be his will. It's going to be Job's will to deal with life as God sent it. Let's see. He said, now, you put it for your hand. Touch all that you have.
And he will curse thee God, to my face.
And so Satan is betting that he's going to curse him. Just like he's betting on us, that if God send pain, we're going to stop worshiping. If we get financially strapped, we ain't going to give right to the plate. We ain't going to do right because Satan is betting that you got more interest in what's best for you than you have what's best for God. Emphasis on this cup is that we don't pass the cup so that we go along with what's our will and desire. Some of you are going down financially because your cup, you're passing the cup. You're not giving properly. You're robbing God, and you're robbing God, and therefore you got holes in your pockets because you are not willing to suffer the loss of giving right to God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You're passing the cup. Passing the cup. So God, this ain't his bet, and all I got to do is take the car, take a little job. They ain't going to give right. They wouldn't give right in the first place. They barely give. Now, let me take something and see what that's zero. Some of y'all zeroed the plate this morning. Why? You in your will. That's why you done it. You in your will. Your will is your pocket, your money, and your well-being. What you're forgetting is God woke you up. What you're forgetting is God gave you the job. What you're forgetting is you breathe his air. You drink his water. But you're in your will. It's your house, your car, your job, your money. You do what you want to do with it, and you come here and call yourself a worshiper. What are you doing? Self-will. You're all in your will. And that's what this whole message is about. That's the whole message is about. Who will are we in? And so when we start dealing with life, God, the challenge is going to come. The challenge is going to come, and Satan understands our weaknesses. And so what we must understand is that when we're operating in the will of God, we do what God wants us to do first. Amen? Now, in verse 12, the Lord responds to Satan.
And the Lord said unto Satan.
And he says to Satan.
Behold.
Look.
All that he hath is in thy power.
I tell you what. Everything he got, I'm going to let you touch it. I'm going to let you touch everything he got. But here's a stipulation. You can't touch his body. Do not put your hands on him.
Only upon himself,
now,
but not
who's controlling this whole situation? Exactly. Who's controlling your situation? Some of y'all are financially situated because God is letting it happen because you are in your will. Some of you are dealing with issues in your life because you forgot who's in control. And when we forget who's in control, we think we got it going on. When you don't have nothing going on without God. Because life without God is vanity. Life without God is meaningless. Living life without God is a fool's life. It's like walking around trying to grab wind with your hand. It's a vexation of the spirit. And I'm saying to you today, to call yourself a child of God, we operate according to the will of God. God, and life without God has zero meaning. That's all. And you say, well, brother, I want to be encouraged. Be encouraged by this piece. You know, you can go get your hand clap on and all that. You can do that. That's you can call that encouragement. And you can call that you got hope and all this feeling good stuff going on. Or you can accept something. That our hope is in God. Not in emotions. Our hope in the deliverer who can deliver us. Our hope comes to be reality when we stay connected with the will of God. And when we're connected with God, then we can rejoice in the Lord always. You don't have to have a jazzed up service or jazzed up song to rejoice. You rejoice because God is good, because God has blessed you, because God is waking you up, because God provides for you. You got food, you got clothing, you got a home, you got a job, you got God who's giving you the things you need, that all things that pertain to life and godliness. And God is saying, that's where joy comes from.
Amen.
You know who's in control? Who's in control of your life? Who's in control? It's not you. Because if you was in control, you would have no pain. You would have, your will is nothing would hurt you. Your will would be just the opposite of that. You would have all good days. You would have no crying. You would have no mourning. We, if I just said it, if it was our will, I put myself in that group, we would turn off the pain, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would. But here's the thing. This cup series about get it right. Perspective is everything. Perspective is this. You have no control. We have no control of what happens in life. And because we have, we'll be like Job. We'll see what happened with him. When we understand what I'm talking about here, you get outside of your will. Now, this is what your test. For those who are really trying to be spiritual, your test is this. Can you see yourself? Whose will are you in? And if you can paradigm shift, change the view, that you are not so much in control as you think you are, you are ready for the next blow because it's coming. But if you're not ready, if you're in your will, brothers and sisters, friends, ladies and gentlemen, listening audience, you're not ready for God to turn this pain loose. What are you saying, brother? Something we can't take. You can't take it in your will. You can only say take it. Only by God can I make it through this. It is no way. You know, what? I'm really trying to operate myself within the will of God. But to accept life as it comes, to deal with pain as it comes, you can't run. You can't run from your pain. The answer is not a running. The answer is God. The answer is a closeness. The answer is coming close to God. The answer is not canceling. The answer is coming close to God. Get the perspective right. Get in His will. That's the message. Let's look at Job. So we ain't in control. Job, it says, God said, they tell you what, you can touch everything, but don't touch Him. So he went for it. Now Satan, once he gets his permission, he's going to go to work. Now, Satan starts, we don't have time to reread all of it. You can go back. Job's story is a great story, but you got to understand a few things about the story to really get it. That number one, Job didn't have a clue this was going to happen. He has no clue about the conversation with God and Satan. He wasn't there. He don't know what's going on. He had no idea that it was coming that day. So if you look at, once God allowed Satan to touch, the first thing the Bible records is a messenger went to him, Job, that morning, and he said, the Sabaeans have killed your oxen. Only one oxen out of 5,000, I think it was, got away. They took your oxen and your donkeys. They, Job owned 500 oxen, 500 she-asses, and he had one left. Second messenger come to him. Now Job wakes up, I just lost everything. He didn't know that was coming. I mean, if y'all aren't ready for the call. The call that everything, you just lost everything. And then he said, the second messenger come. The fire is falling from heaven. The fire of God is burning up your sheep. The fire is burning up your servant. You got one now. Then come another man. These are back-to-back information. He's just landing him with pain. Pain. Now, the third one comes. There's a band of groups called the Chaldeans. They're known as warriors. The Chaldeans are carrying away your camels. The Chaldeans kill some more of your servant. You got only one servant left. He escaped. And here comes the fourth messenger. Back-to-back blow. The fourth one come, and he said, and he tell him that you went from rags, from riches to rags. And now the painful blow is this. All of your children are dead. That's right, bro. How many of us want that phone call? That all of our children died at the same time. This is Job's cup. It all came in just a matter of blows, back to back to back. Many people today, with our God in today's world, would have committed suicide. It was too much. But Job didn't commit suicide. Why? Because Job was what kind of man? Spiritual man. One who feared God and eschewed evil. And Job's response after all this happens to him is found in verse number 21.
And said,
Job said this.
Naked came I.
Look here. I didn't have nothing when I got here.
Out of my mother's
womb. When I came, and think about how you came out of your mom. You didn't have not even a diaper on you. You didn't have nothing on you. You had no shirt. No diaper, no shoes. Job said, let's get perspective in life. When I came into this life, I had nothing. When I came through my mama's womb, he said, naked,
shall I return?
I came, and naked, I'm going to go back. And the Lord, now he and now perspective in this. I lost all my sheep, all my cattle, all my sister, all my children. I had none of that stuff when I came into the world. And here's how I know. And this is what spiritual people would do. The Lord gave.
And the Lord had taken away.
Who gave?
The Lord.
The Lord gave you life. God gave you breath. God gave you skin. God gave you life. And when it's perspective, we know that no matter what happened in this life, what we have, God gave to us. What is that? What kind of person is that? That spiritual people who is operating in the will of God. Claiming all your possessions. Claiming your degrees. Claiming your education. Who gave you the ability to think? Who gave you the ability to walk? Who gave you the ability to know to do the basic things you need to do in life? Who gave you that sense? We get so smart that we want to run life for God and we forget God gave us the very mind that we have.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you are suffering because you're in your own will. I'm just curious if God polled this audience and the listening audience out there. How many folk are willing, are really operating within the will of God? Well, you just be honest, because God already knows. Look at everybody saying, look at what am I going, what's going on here? He ain't questioning God. He said, no, I came with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. I know who gave. God gave it, and the Lord just took it. And is that true or not? It's true, because God gave it, and then God take it. And it was in God's will. But he did say, blessed
be the name of the Lord.
Be the name of the Lord. And the Bible records, and some say he sinned. The Bible says, in all this,
Job sinned
in
not.
All the losses he had, he sinned not.
Nor
why?
Judge God.
Why did Job sin not? Because Job was in the will of God. Job did what Jesus did in the garden. Job was able to accept the pain that God had allowed. Now, you say, well, Brother Brooks, everybody not that strong spiritually. I understand that. I know one. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. I don't think nobody would want to wish this on anyone. It's in the Bible for our learning, though. Man, I don't Satan don't care about how remember this under here. Here's a, you can count your victories all you want, you know, but Satan care less about your faith victories. He don't care about your sin victories because you overcame one. Don't you know he gonna give you another issue? Don't you better get ready. Satan ain't giving up. He said, so what? You won that one. But I got another one coming. I'm never going to give up. If he failed one time, you can rest assured he's not happy about it. He's coming back. He's coming back to Job some more. Once again, he go back to God. Listen to him in Job 2 and verse 6.
And the Lord said unto Satan.
So, yeah, the Lord says to Satan.
Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life.
Now, he went back and asked for a second chance. And so again, who's in control? Whose will is this? This Satan will? No. No, this is God. This is God. And he had to go and ask him. He couldn't touch his body. He was a very healthy man. Let's talk about health now. He was a very healthy man. And the Bible says, Satan wanted to get to his body. But he said, he's in your hand, but save his life. Now, he can hurt your body. He could hurt his body, but he couldn't take his life. See, somebody said, well, you know, Brother Brooks, I died one time and I came back. You wasn't dead. You wasn't dead. There's a point on the man wants to die. When God say you're dead, you ain't coming back. And folks say that. I had somebody tell me that a few weeks ago. You know, my wife then died four times and came back all four times. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was saying to myself, she wasn't dead. Probably some of that Jack Daniels or something she had. Praise in my name of Jesus. You know how folk get in them car accidents and they think they, you know, and I quit every time. Seems like the drunk always live through it. Everybody else get killed. Yeah, he's so messed up. And he get out, I'm like, Lord, bless me, yeah? Yeah, and you've seen lights and they were pumping on your chest and you've seen the white lights and you've seen the angels. Yes, that was Jack Daniel and that what that other stuff? Which one? How you know, bro? What's up with him? That was a setup. Yeah, all them drugs, marijuana, and what else? Hallucination. Even my brother over here know. How many of y'all experience some of that kind of stuff? You see stuff, don't you? See stuff. Yeah. You say, well, Brother Brooks, hold on. What? You're not dead. See, he wasn't dead, right? He said, now, who's in control of life? That's my point. God. Exactly. See, we're not going to die until God say, die. I remember I was preaching Brother Joseph's funeral. And I always look for something. I don't ever write a funeral sermon. I just look for something in the message, in the obituary or something. What caught my attention in his statement, because there's always something in there about the individual, or something like that. That's what I try to use to get the family to think in terms of the person they lost. And one of the things that were written in there, and it's some brother Scott, he said to us, we was over to his house, he said, everything's right. It's just God's will. It's just God's will. Man, how common is that? You know, when we can get that piece, it doesn't matter what's going on. You can be terminally ill, whatever else. But, you know, whatever you're going through, you can say, you know what? It's just God's will. When death has come and taken our loved ones, even though it leaves our home so lonely and dreary, then do we wonder why others prosper? Living so wicked. Wouldn't that be Job's song? Mm-hmm. Why are others prospering? I'm not living wicked. But Job understood what we need to understand. It's just God's will. And when we can live out like that, you know, we live with less stress. Because we just accept it's just God's will. Isn't that the way he's thinking? The Lord said to Satan, you can touch him. And Baal, then so Satan, just to speed up the thought here, Satan started presenting to him balls, and these balls are very painful, boy. I don't know if you ever had a ball, but think about having a ball from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. They're very sore, they're very painful. He has it all over his body, and on top of that, it seems that his wife is losing it. And I always tell people about, you know, wife, Job called his wife a fool. No, he didn't. No, he didn't call her no fool. Read the scripture. Verse 10 of Job 2, he didn't call her no fool. But I'll be cautious. I'm going to carefully warn anybody that talks about Job's wife that I don't know many mothers that could hold themselves together when all 10 of the children that came from her womb died on the same day. If there's a mother in here that think that's okay, stand up and raise your hand. Before we get too critical, listen to what Job said to her. But he said unto her,
thou speakest as one of the foolish
women. She said, you ought to curse God and die. She's thinking something's going on. And he didn't call her a fool. He said, you're talking like one. And I'm going to tell you something. You can get so hurt by the pains of life that you start making foolish statements. She made a foolish statement. What? Job said, you speak as a foolish woman. What?
Shall we receive
you
good?
You think we supposed to get good stuff from God?
The hand of God, and shall we not
and
receive
not
evil?
Take whatever else he said? He helped his wife to regain her composure. Keep in mind, the key to understanding this is that Job don't know what's going on. His wife has no clue. His friends will have no clue. So Job now, look at his cup. Job is broke. Job is grieving. Job's wife is out of her senses. Job is in unbearable pain from boils all over his body. And some of us complain about arthritis. Now let's go to verse 11. Somebody with arthritis said, y'all sure do. I understand, but you could have balls all over you too. I had one ball under my arm. I was a teenager, and that doctor, I was laying there, I was hurting. They would get ready to touch it. Don't touch it. It was hurting. And they said, Mr. Brooks, I think I was about 18. And they told me, said, now what you need to do is just lay there. You can holler and scream, but don't you move. I said, God, oh, man. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, man, I screamed too. When he hit that thing with that knife, you know, he went on there, and that stuff, shot out of there. I screamed. I didn't have no shame in my game. I'm telling you, I had no problem hollering. I was screaming like a baby. I probably called for mom. I don't know. More likely I did. Anyway, that thing was hurting. But what my point is, I don't know. My point is pain was just one ball. He had it from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Watch this. In verse 11, Job said,
now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil,
his friends come. They heard about all this evil that come up on him.
They came from another place.
Eliphaz.
The Temanite.
Bildad.
The Shuhite.
Zophar.
The Naamathite.
And they had made an appointment to go to meet with him. Watch this. They're two different. I'm going to point out this morning. I'm going to close the lesson. They went to mourn with him and comfort him. Job have three friends. They are his friends. They are his what?
Friends.
Friends. Have heard everything that happened. They come to set with him. They make an appointment. Their intent is to come and mourn and comfort. Their intent. Later on, he's going to call them miserable comforters. Keep in mind, his friends are just human beings. And anyone need a friend, need God. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. No matter how many friends we have, there's no friend like Jesus. And let me tell you like this. A person needs friends more than they need, more than human beings. You need friend in Jesus, and the comforter that can give you comfort is the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, John 14:26. So John's friend came out of genuine concern and genuine friends, and they will come with genuine concern. They think they're going to help you. They are intended to help you. They mean to help you, but they don't know how to help. If you're here this morning, let me encourage you. Or if you're listening, get baptized immediately. Because the comforter you're going to need when all your friends leave is going to be the Holy Spirit. And he can give you comfort that mankind cannot give you. Amen. Few other warnings I give everybody. Be careful talking about, I know how you feel. If you've never walked in the shoes, you don't know what it feels like. You just say, I'm here with you. Whatever I can do, mean it. Don't say whatever I can do and go eat chicken. Say whatever I can do and mean it. And then those of us who need them, tell them what you can do to help me. So here's what you can do to help me. And if you're trying to help, follow their advice. Take what they say, how to help me, hear how you help me. Don't say you love me and don't listen to how I ask you to help me. I didn't ask you to help me the way you wanted to help me. I need to help the way I need it. You say, well, brother, but at the end of the day, when all the people leave, when you're going through your pains of life, you're going to need God. And when they lifted up their eyes, on verse 2, I'm closing.
Their eyes are far off and knew him not.
They couldn't tell. He was so messed up from the sword, they lifted up their voice. And they wept, they crying over how he looked, his visible appearance. And they went everyone, his man, he rent his mantle and sprinkled dust upon his head toward him. He was such in bad shape, he couldn't be recognized. At the sight of him, they started crying and kind of like saying, oh God, what done happened to Job? And then, man, they know, they had to know. They visualized this rich man who was a spiritual man and broke now. He had nothing. He got body, sores all his body, wife about to go crazy, children all dead. Look at him, pulse running from his sword. And they looking at him, saying, oh my goodness, what done happened to Job? What did Job do wrong? That's what's going to go through their friend's head. Their friends are going to come back later. And I can do more of this if you want it. How to be a friend to somebody when they're going through something. Amen. They think, Job, you had to do something bad for God to let all this happen to you. But what's the truth? The truth is, he did nothing but be spiritual. So they think he's a sinner, so they think they need to help him some kind of way, but we know the truth, and they didn't know the truth. Verse 13.
So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights.
They sat down with him, trying to, in their mind going, what in the world done Job done? They sat down with him 7 nights. Now spake a word
unto him.
They didn't say nothing. Imagine that sentence looking at him. Man, what happened to Job? What did he do? This is what these guys are going to be doing. They're going to come in. You did this, Job. You need to repent. You need to. They're going to do all that later. And they saw that. Notice here comes the punchline right here.
For they saw that he was
grief. I'm going to teach y'all something right here.
Was very great.
That I couldn't talk to you before November 8th. They saw that his grief was very what?
Great.
Great. Notice they mourned, he grieved. Two different things. Let me explain it. And this is what you get from grief counseling if you come and stop running from your pain. Come get help. That everybody don't grieve. For example, you lose a loved one, that mama who lost her child has an attachment to that child that the people coming to the funeral won't have. Now, when they see her cry, they're going to mourn with her. But when she go back home, she got to go back in that child's bedroom because she's attached to him. And you don't grieve if you have no attachment. You just mourn. Grief take you into another place of mental challenges. Job going to go through it all the way to the end. Mental challenge. These men were speechless. They didn't know what had happened. Job is telling them. What I'm saying, y'all, is that when people are grieving, that's much different than mourning. They will think they're going crazy. They don't know what's normal feelings. Their lives are turned upside down. And those people who don't understand that will do as these friends and make attempts to rush you through the process versus allowing you to learn or educating themselves on how to help you. So I'm trying to educate this congregation. When somebody loses their child or their attachment, a husband, wife, or a significant attachment, let's learn how to help. That's what I'm encouraging us. I was in the same boat. We walk by and pat them on the back, say, oh, you know, I'm praying for you. I know you're praying. But learn how to help. And that's how we talked about, Brother Foreman and myself and Brother Stroud, talking about educating the congregation on some particulars of how mistakes we've made when people are grieving. And then the grievers make mistakes themselves. They run and they set up shrines and they stay in their home and they don't change nothing. And they're what they call stuck in grief. And God has blessed you with opportunities to come out of that. God don't want you stuck in grief. He wants you to do like Job. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what God wants. So what are we saying? This was Job's cup. And what Job did was accept the will of God. And there are other things you're going to learn that Job done. We'll find out later. Maybe I'll do some more of it. I don't know. But at this point, the main emphasis you need to leave on today is this. Brothers and sisters, understand this. We have no control of what's going to come in life. And what Brother Briggs is encouraging us is that don't operate within your own will. Go ahead and lock back into God's will. And you know whatever you're going through right now? Tell yourself on the way out here, it's just God's will. Can y'all do that with me? It's just God's will. And I accept God's will. And if you can do that, you got the gist of this message. And don't stick your head in the sand and believe for not 1 minute that God can't release some pain on you that will cause you to go to your knees, because he can. He can. Who here today not a Christian? Who listening not a Christian? You're in a bad shape. You're in a bad place. You need to believe that God loved you. He gave his son for you. His son came and he accepted the will of God and allowed them to whip him and beat him and spit upon him and mock him, put a crown of thorns on his head, led him up a hill called Calvary. There he took the pains of the crucifixion, nails in his hands and his feet, hanging on a little cross for 6 hours. Why? It was just God's will. It was God's will for him to hang for us. When he died, they pierced him inside, John 18:34. Blood and water came out. They took him down from the cross, buried him in Joseph's new tomb. And he resurrected with power. Why did he resurrect? It was God's will. With power and commands to give to the world, to preach this good news, to, if they believe it, baptize them, he said, Mark 16:15-16. And that's what you need to do this morning, young man, young lady, mother, fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, children and mamas and daddies need to be baptized. That's God's will. His will is not to perish, 1 Peter 3:9. But he wants us to come to repentance. And it's his will that you be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And God will bless you. He'll give you life. He'll give you a seal, a protection, a hedge. But don't suffer as an evildoer next week. If you don't suffer, suffer as a Christian. And you do that this morning by hearing that gospel, number one. Believing it with all of your heart, Acts 15:7. Luke 13:3, repent right where you are now. Say, I'm not leaving here without God in my life. Number four, make a confession in front of these people. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Step five, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. It's in baptism that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. It's in baptism that you receive the Holy Spirit, John 3:5 and following verses. Acts 2:38. It's in baptism where you obtain eternal life because you have the Spirit of God. And then you live life with God. But Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. And those of us who are Christian, I've drunk my cup, you've been drinking yours. We've been drinking these cups, I know that. But I'll tell you what, I'm guilty. I pushed the cup away. I have done it. And if you're honest, it's best that you get honest. Your best that you be honest and stop pushing the cups. Don't push it away. Get back in God's will. Get out of yours. Start living for him because he can loose it. He can loose some pain on us. But be ready. Do it with God. What are we going to do? You say, Brother, we all need some mercy, don't we, y'all? And mercy, Lord. Mercy. This song here, you get ready to sing a song of encouragement. We want you to come. Those who have not been baptized, I want you to come down to the front. I'm going to take your confession this morning. We're going to baptize you before you leave. And those who are members of the church, you need prayer. Those who need prayer, I want you to come. Those who need to repent, confess, make your confession, come to the front. Send your card. Come down. Those who are listening out there and listening out, go to the Church of Christ close to you. Tell them you heard the gospel. You believed it. You repented your sin. Confess them to be the Son of God. Go get baptized today. Though that you don't have to pass this cup because it's coming. May God bless you. Come as together we stand and sing the encouragement song.